So today we're talking about reaching out with sensitivity. And it's kind of one of those things that, I don't know, for some reason we don't like the word sensitive. The word seeker sensitive years ago kind of became like a bad word in church, and how, you know, you can't be sensitive. Honestly, I think we've kind of got off track with that. To be sensitive does not mean to be dishonest or only communicate part of the whole truth. What it does mean is that we seek to understand someone's circumstances so that we might reach them with the good news of Jesus. So you remember a while back, we talked about how everybody had a different love language. You guys remember that? I know it's like 3 or 4 months ago. But so we talked about love languages. And what we did is we learned in preaching class that everybody learns differently. And it is wise to try diverse ways to get your point across. Teaching, like we do, or tell stories. You have video elements. You incorporate art into your preaching, or special music, which we have all the time, which is always so excellent. These are all approaches that we employ here. Perhaps not as much as we would like, but the idea is that everyone learns and communicates differently. So let's try to hit as many of those as we can. I was driving home from DeKalb on Friday night. I don't know if you guys ever heard of the comedian Brian Regan. He's one of my absolute favorite comedians. He's actually really clean, which is rare in this world. But he's so funny. And so we went up. Heather got this for me, 2 tickets to see Brian Regan, because the sickness was going to be over and Heather and I could go out and enjoy a night together to go see this comedian. Well, obviously that didn't happen, right? But so Heather goes, you know what? It's okay. Evelyn's going to be at your aunt, at her aunt's. You can go take your best friend Adam. You guys go and just have fun, and I'll stay here with Elijah. So we did that. We go up to DeKalb. We saw a movie on the way, which is awesome. We saw a movie in Peoria. Saw Pacific Rim, which isn't great, so don't go see that. But we see this comedian. He's really funny, and we were laughing and having a great time. He drives me back to my car in Peoria, and it starts to snow. It is the end of March. Hello? Like, what is going on? Why is it snowing right now? And so it's snowing. It is snowing so hard that we can't see anything. Not only is it snowing in March, it is a whiteout in March. I'm like, what in the world is happening right now? Probably should check the weather beforehand, but how was I supposed to know it was going to snow? So anyway, I guess the news is all over, but whatever. So I go, and so I get to my car, and I'm thinking, okay, no big deal. I'll try to take the interstate home or something. Well, I'll get there. You know, I got Google Maps, right? I got a cleaned off, defrosted windshield. You know, I've got Rain-X on my windshields, right? So I nothing's gonna stick. I've got newer tires. We're good. We can do this. And so I get driving on the interstate. This is the interstate. This isn't like some back highways. I am slipping and sliding all over the place. I can't see any. I have to turn my headlights off to see anything. You guys ever had that happen before? Like, your lights make it so you can't see anything. You turn, little trick, turn your headlights off, and all of a sudden you can see. You can't see, nobody can see you. But at least you can see. You don't have to ride off the drive off the road. So I'm kind of following by Google Maps, you know, like it's showing me the outline of where the road is going. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just do this. Let's go home. No, I did not do that. No, what did I do? I was actually smart for once. I pulled off on, you know, to a truck stop, and I waited it out. And I waited for 2 hours. It's about 2 a.m. now, and it's not getting any better. So I go to Motel 6. I'm like, you know, they always got the lights on, right? So I go there, and everybody did have the lights on. The place was like a party. Like it was, there's people running all over the place, yelling. I'm like, I just wasted $54. Probably saying that right now, realize that you get what you get for $54 a night. But so I tried to sleep until 6. I slept for probably 45 minutes. I'm like, we're done with this. And by then it had melted and it was turned into rain, and I was fine. I came home and I came to the church work day, which I was kind of worthless at because I hadn't slept. So I tell you all that. Well, we'll talk about it later. So when we're trying to reach somebody for Jesus, all right, we're trying to reach somebody for Jesus, this is what we are encouraging us to do as well. We have the tools, right? You all have the tools. You've got Google Maps, and you've got your scripture memorized. Maybe you've got the Roman Road. You know, you've got that kind of on command. You've kind of learned how to, like, what scriptures to teach and to lead someone through, to kind of lead them to the Lord. You're prayed up. You've got all these things at your disposal, right? But what we're asking you to do is actually to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but the same tool doesn't work for everyone. The same tool doesn't work for every job. If I need something screwed in, I don't take a hammer to it, right? That would be silly. And so I think lots of times what we do is we kind of try to figure out how do we, like, finagle somebody so that they can go down this certain path that I have memorized, and so I will be able to reach somebody. And that is not what God is calling us to do. That is not what God is asking us to do. He is asking us to be sensitive to where a person is before we launch into our evangelism spiel. The phrase seeker sensitive has a lot of baggage attached to it. So let's say that we are not even talking about being seeker sensitive. We're just talking about being sensitive. Last week we talked about listening to the heart of someone. For a long time, the church has not been so good at that. Brennan Manning, he wrote several books, one book called The Ragamuffin Gospel that I love. He said that the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians. Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. We can really shoot ourselves in the foot sometimes, can't we? There are many times, like Brennan says, that Christians go out and live in such a way that non-Christians look at them and go, nope, mm-mm, mm-mm. And I would imagine, though, that many more times the world says nope because we are deaf. Which is still denying him with our lifestyle. Look at Jesus. He was sensitive. Do we know that? I don't mean like flowers in his hair, singing kumbaya around a campfire, drinking a latte sensitive. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about simply looking at his interactions with different people. He was kind to people. He listened to people. He felt for people. He connected with people on a personal level. He heard their heart, all before saying, now go and sin no more. Take the woman at the well. He knew she was an outcast. He knew she had been married 5 times, that she was shacked up with a guy that wasn't her husband. He knew that she had burned all her bridges, she had no friends, she was a total outcast. And did he say, "Go away, get away from me, sinner"? No. He did not go church lady on her. SNL skit. Anyway, he listened to her, he heard her, he truly saw her, and then he spoke truth in love. And then what happened? It changed her life forever. Do you want to do the same? Paul was a master at this as well. He was able to take the word of God to others with a sensitive heart. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17, if you would. It's on your pew Bible there, page 922. Or you can follow along on YouVersion if you have that app on your phone. Today I started, we're already doing the chronological Bible reading plan in a year. I started another plan today. It's only 7 days. It's the Holy Week plan. If you want to do that with me, that would be awesome. It's just a 7-day reading. It's like a little video devotional and then actually a scripture of the last week of Jesus' life. Throw that out there. If you want to do it, awesome. If not, that's cool too. Okay. So this is a long section of scripture. I'll set the stage for us. Paul is walking around the city of Athens. The city of Athens had a reputation. The New Bible Dictionary said this about the city. It said, Sophocles observed, "This city exceeds all others in worshiping and honoring gods." Xenophon said it had twice as many sacred festivals as any other city. And no wonder, for Athenians always imported their deities and superstitions of every nation along with their arts and learning. Strabo said their hospitality to strangers extended to their gods too, being very ready to receive any strange objects or forms of worship. So that, as Petronius humorously said, it is easier to find a god in Athens than a man. So Paul's walking around, observing all this. His heart is broken. And verse 16 says that his heart was troubled. Look, 16 says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. When was the last time our hearts were troubled or broken over those that aren't worshiping the true God? I hope that this series has caused you to be praying for that, and your heart has become tender to those that we know that don't worship Jesus. So Paul makes a stop at the temple to try to and preach to his people. Those that grew up the same way he did. He goes and reasons with the Jewish people there and tells them the good news about Jesus. Verse 17 says, he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all those who happened to be there. And while he is doing that, he encounters some Epicureans and some Stoic philosophers. Epicureans believe that God exists, but now dwell apart from the world. They did not create the world, so should not be worshipped. Gods are self-sufficient and do not need men. They had a tendency toward atheism and materialism. The Stoics were like the opposite. They believed in Zeus. They believed that Zeus was a function and he was in control of nature. They had a tendency toward pantheism, which is many, many god worship. And that all that happens is rational in accordance with nature's design. The total involvement of necessity and talking about human activity. This group of those guys, so there's Epicureans and the Stoics, and they like to just sit around and talk. You know, kind of like maybe you see people, a bunch of guys sitting around a coffee shop at 5 a.m., you know, they're up, so let's just go ahead and get together and talk about everything, right? Talk about politics. That's what these guys would do, Stoics and Epicureans. So They invite Paul to come and talk to them. And verse 17, Paul is already establishing himself. He's already building his reputation. Start with where the person is and where the person is at. And the whole time he's waiting for reinforcements. He's waiting for a couple other of his Paul's followers to come and join him. And that together they're going to go out and win Athens for Jesus. But however, as we see, they're asking him, hey, come talk to us. We want to talk to you about this stuff. We want to know this God that you're talking about. And so what does Paul do? He seizes his chance. Verse 21 tells us that this is what they spent their time doing, discussing latest ideas, and they're like, come talk to us. We want to hear about all this. So what Paul has shown us, what Paul's example for us is number one, is that you start with where a person is. You start where a person is. Verse 22, so Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice you are very religious in every way. So this is what Paul did. He started with where these people were. He noticed the surroundings in this area. How do you do that? Well, Paul, it says here that Paul just walked around. He saw the people's worship. He saw their idols. He saw what they were doing. He kind of got to know the lay of the land. Jesus was great at this. He would go and he would look and he would say, look, see these rocks? Let me tell you about these rocks. And he would take something that he saw. He would take something out of the surrounding area. Maybe something that was kind of near and dear the heart of the people that he was talking to. And he would just notice what they were all about. Then he would notice their language. The Epicureans and Stoics, they were high thinking. They were super, super smart. They were very philosophical. So what did Paul do? Paul spoke to them in a what kind of way? A very philosophical, very high intelligence type of way. Paul also noticed their attitude. They were willing to listen as long as somebody would meet them where they were. And so what did Paul do? He met them where they were. And then Paul also noticed what was missing. Paul noticed that they were missing truth. He caught on to this really quickly. And here's the deal. If you are trying to reach somebody, and somebody is coming and talking to you like, wait, I don't understand what this person is talking about. They're talking about believing this or that, and I've never heard of this stuff before. You know what you may have to do? You may have to read a book. You may have to do some research to kind of figure out what they're talking about. Because the worst thing you can do is be like, hey, you know what, that doesn't matter. What you think about doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because what is really important is this. You know where that gets you? Nowhere. It gets you with a closed door in your face. A couple things to grasp here. You cannot expect a non-Christian to act like a Christian. I'm always a bit amused when someone says, well, this person did that. Or, can you believe this celebrity said that? Or, this politician said this and then he did the total opposite. And I want to say to you, well, I can believe that, especially the celebrity, the politicians. What blows my mind is when someone acts, someone who claims to be a Christian, then acts in those same ways. And that is what disappoints me. And really, that mainly starts with me. Because most of the time, I have no business pointing a finger at someone else. Because I'm really the guilty one. We are asking everyone to ask one person, right? We're still praying about this. We're still praying for this one person we're going to give a postcard to. This one person that God wants us to reach. The truth It's most likely not everyone we invite will come. That's the truth. I hope they do, but probably not. I mean, not everyone, right? I mean, I hope that there's a majority of who we ask comes, but here's the deal. If they're not going to come on another Sunday, maybe they probably won't. Easter's not that important to them. Why would they come on Easter? But that's not the point for this. The point is that we are planting seeds. The point is that we are being intentional and doing what Jesus has called us to do. Number two, the thing that we learn from Paul's example is that we need to share your experience. Verse 22, so Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. Paul truly is masterful in the way he goes about preaching the gospel. Look how he weaves his story, his observations, into his presentation of Jesus. Paul knows something to be true. He had his story and his experiences, and no one can take that from you. One of the truly unique things that you have in this world is your story. Nobody knows your story better than you do. Now this here, what Luke writes, is obviously a summary of what Paul preached. We know that Paul did not preach short sermons, kind of what you're thinking now about me. His sermon before dinner that he gave one night lasted into the wee hours of the morning. You remember that one? A kid fell out of the window and died. You guys remember that story? That was to his friends. Can you imagine what Paul would be like here about these guys that are just wanting to talk and mix it up, and he's like, man, I'm just going to preach and talk and preach, and this is awesome. He's talking to a bunch of guys that want nothing more than to talk and discuss high-sounding discussion and theories, and this probably went on for hours. How much do you want to bet that Paul told his story to these people? How likely is it that Paul told them the story of being a persecutor of Christians? And then to walking along the Damascus Road where his whole life changed in an instant. And I could see the crowd leaning in and thinking, no way, that didn't happen. No way, that happened. Did it? Did that happen? That's his story. What's your story? Your story about how you came to know Jesus. Guard that story. Dust off that story. That story is yours and yours alone. One of the unique, wonderful things in this world is your story. No one can take it. Sometimes we get embarrassed by our stories. Stop that. That is a lie from Satan. So what if you grew up in church? Who cares if you never sold drugs or you didn't used to cuss like a sailor or there was no point where you didn't love Jesus that you can remember. That's great. You know why? Because in every Christian's life, there was a point where you knew that you were a sinner, that you couldn't do it on your own, and that you needed Jesus. Some stories will resonate with others, with one person better than another, but another story may resonate with someone totally different in a totally unique way. And that is what is so amazing. Our stories are similar and different all at the same time. And so Paul's sitting there saying, hey, I tried worshiping a God I didn't know. And I followed all these rules. And I did all the things that I was supposed to be a good Jewish person, to be a good Pharisee. I went to all the festivals and I performed them and I did all the rituals and I ate all the meals and I did all the feasts, but I didn't know Jesus. Can you see Paul turning it personal in verse 23? And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. I can see Paul there standing, proclaiming, I tried it. I tried worshiping a God that I did not know. I thought that because I was dragging Christians out of their homes, throwing them in jail, beating them, stoning them, I thought that I was pleasing this God that I didn't know. I just knew that I thought I was supposed to, I was doing what I was trying to make him happy. I thought I was doing the right thing. This unknown God, this shrine that you have, he is the God that I did not know. And then I met him and everything changed. He blinded me, literally. And he does that when you see him, you know. He blinded me, and then he took my blinders off so I could really see. I could truly see. I had followed every single rule. I tried so hard to cross every T and dot every I. I thought that I was such a good Pharisee. I thought I was doing everything right, and the only problem was I did not know this God I supposedly served. And then the day I met him, he told me I had been doing it all wrong. Can anyone relate to that? I knew the way home. I had Google Maps. I had a defrosted windshield. I had the windshield wipers on. You know what I realized pretty quickly was I need to stop and not be an idiot. And Paul realized that he had been doing it all wrong. He realized that he needed to stop and not be an idiot. Jesus got a hold of him and turned his life upside down. He shares his experience, and then you don't have Paul's story, but you have Aaron's story. You have Valerie's story. I have Sobek's story. And that's enough. Lastly, Paul, we learn from Paul's example is that we turn to the truth and love. Verse 24, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. He doesn't live in a church building. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him up from the dead. We always want to communicate the truth with love and sensitivity. Always. But it does not mean we water things down. It means we seek to understand where somebody is and what somebody is feeling. And then we communicate, we turn them to the truth in a very loving way. So there you are. Postcard in hand. You've been praying for this. You've been working up the courage. And you have started where they are. You have shared your experience. You have spoken the truth in love. I hope that person comes. Verse 32, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this later. That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysus, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Perhaps the person you invite will come. Perhaps they'll come with you and maybe they'll accept Jesus that day. Maybe not. How amazing is it though that you tried? that you prayed, that you shared, that you get to say, I was like Paul. I was like Paul. Maybe they will hear you, maybe not. But maybe that seed you planted, maybe that seed you planted will take root. And maybe it is because of your efforts that you will have reached one. Maybe not today. Maybe not Easter. But maybe later. Maybe just not yet. But we have all been called to reach. And so my question for all of us is, have you been faithful to your call? Jesus, we love you and we worship you. And we know that you are calling us to be your hands and feet to the world. To carry the good news of Jesus, the good news of salvation, the good news of being saved from ourselves, saved from our sins. You have called us to reach out and to grab hold of one. Father, I pray for all those postcards that are going to go out this week or went out last week. And I pray that even if the fruit isn't seen next Sunday, that those seeds were scattered and they will come back and produce fruit and produce a crop. Because somebody prayerfully considered and tried to reach just one. Help us to be your servants. Help us to be your missionaries. Help us to love like Jesus. And help us to reach others with sensitivity. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.